Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We are studying the book of Revelation. In this session, we'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the church that lost its focus. The letters to the seven churches in Revelation, what are they? What do they represent? Well, they are actual churches. They also represent all churches. And then, I believe, third, they represent periods in the church age. The time between Pentecost, when the church is born, to the rapture, when the church is taken out. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The Lord Jesus Christ holds the pastors in his hand, supporting them, strengthening them. He's in heaven, yet he's among the churches. The church age is a break in the timeline of Israel. The Old Testament prophets, when they spoke of the timeline of Israel, they never envisioned the church. These 2,000 years that we've lived in as the church, the Old Testament prophets did not see those. To them, it was one timeline. The church was not a part of it in the Old Testament prophecy. And so there's this gap in the timeline, but it's represented by the churches. And Ephesus pictures the apostolic time. Smyrna pictures from post-apostolic time to the Emperor Constantine. Pergamos symbolizes legalized Christianity from A.D. 313. And we'll look at each of these as we look through the books of the chapters of the churches. Thyatira is the Middle Ages and the growth of the Roman Church. Sardis represents the Reformation period. Philadelphia marks the modern missionary era. And Laodicea projects the modern age from about the 1950s to the present and forward to the rapture. So what's the general structure of these seven letters? Well, there's the destination, the Lord, there's a commendation, condemnation, exhortation, and promise. And so we begin with the letter to the church at Ephesus. Look at chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Jesus began with a good report. They were dynamic. They were dedicated. They were patient, disciplined, and discerning. In fact, church discipline itself was practiced there. False prophets were called liars. And the Nicolaitans were hated as self-indulgent, immoral people. Look at verse 6. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Listen, a church with a sincere love for God will resist those who counterfeit and distort the purity of biblical truth. What a church. And just for a moment, consider who its pastors were. Paul established it, and he used it as his headquarters for 3 years. Timothy served there for an unknown length of time. Church history also places the Apostle John, who's writing this letter, there as a pastor for about 30 years. A study of Acts chapter 19 provides much about the church at Ephesus. And when we went through the book of Acts, we saw this in chapter 19. It was in the middle, this church was in the middle of a pagan worship center. It was a city of educational and economic diversity. It was a center for false religions and superstitions. One of the seven wonders of the world was located there, the Temple of Diana. And it's a commerce center for making and selling religious idols. They made all these things to serve the pagan religions. But verse 4 presents quite an indictment against the church. After all of that, Jesus then says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You don't love Jesus Christ like you once did." It's likened to marriage partners who are fading in their devotion to one another. There is good news. Jesus is the great physician. He gives the diagnosis, and he also provides the prescription for treatment. Look at the first part of verse 5. "Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first things." So if love is going to be renewed, if their first love is going to be rekindled, then the Lord gave 3 steps to renew your first love. First, remember what it was like. Remember the romance, the desire, the excitement. Relive that salvation moment. Relive that. Second, repent and change your life. Make a commitment. Why? Because actions naturally follow commitment decisions. It's just the way we're made. It's the way we are. Actions naturally follow commitment decisions. So remember what it was like at first love. Repent and change your life. Make a commitment. And then third, repeat the first acts of love. Listen, even if you don't like it, even if you don't feel like it, feelings will eventually follow the actions. If you do it, you'll eventually like it. Let me ask you, are these steps optional? I mean, you can remain in your sin, but there's a warning. If you don't revive your first love, your church will cease to be a light in the community. It's pretty clear. The second part of verse 5, "Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Ephesus today, well, it declined as a city. It has no inhabitants. It exists only as a major ruin site today. Jesus Christ is warning all churches. No church is immune to this. Even ours. Even yours. Europe. I tell you, for example, I traveled to Europe for business. And I would go to different churches. And let me tell you, that area of the world is full of empty, cold churches that once thrived to overflowing. And you can go into these churches that seat hundreds and hundreds of people, and you may see 50, 60 people there in a worship service. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is how every letter ends, with a promise. On the outside, the church at Ephesus looked great. But inside, it was growing cold toward God. Are we able to hear with our spiritual ear? Are we losing or leaving our first love and the excitement of our new belief? And Jesus says, him who overcomes. Boy, doesn't that sound like works righteousness? But let's look a little further. Who are the overcomers? Well, if you look over to John's first letter, same one who wrote this down, John's first letter in chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see? If you are a Christian, you are an overcomer. Simply by the fact that you are a Christian, you have that victory because of your faith in Jesus Christ. A busy life will allow your love relationship with Jesus to grow cold. The message here is the Lord is to have first place in your life. You have a great day.